To this computer. And here it is. Hey. All right, guys. So we are going through the Christmas season. And what God put on our heart when we started this season is that God would take something super, super ordinary and change it to something super extraordinary. You know, something that's just the usual. People were just going on with their days. We know about Christmas now because we know about Christmas now, you know. But 2,000 years ago, they didn't know about Christmas. No one told them that in December or whenever that was, there is a holiday and there will be 2 days off, and you need to shop for gifts, and the lights are going to go up, and there's a Black Friday and Thanksgiving. No, none of that. None of that. It was just an ordinary night, ordinary families, ordinary people. Going through ordinary things, just living their lives day by day. And here comes Jesus after 400 years between the prophet Malachi and Jesus, about 400 years, where it seemed like heaven stopped speaking. The nation went through so much. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I go through these seasons where, like, I don't hear much. I am not seeing much. Maybe I am hearing much. I'm hearing a word, but I'm not seeing much. I feel like heaven has been silent, if it not in talking, but in action. And to tell you the truth, it took so many prayers for me to do Bible study today. It's just been a very tough week, very exhausted emotionally and physically and everything. But what God put on my heart today is that God, that to compare between two people, one person who was living in the very comfort, every comfortable thing that this world can offer, and living his ordinary, comfortable life, and a group of people who are living the least comfortable life. Okay? So I promise you one thing today. I'm going to give you some highlights. All I'm going to do today is give you some highlights, because as I was studying and I was preparing, I'm like, there is no way. There is absolutely no way we can cover this in a week or two or three or four. There is absolutely no way. So I'm going to give you some highlights today, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take it and you're going to do your own studying. Or maybe, like, I don't know, maybe in the future we can talk about it again. But this is a comparison today about how two different groups of people will receive the news of Christ. Okay, the first group of people that I'm super excited to share about today are those who are tired, those who are exhausted, those who are overlooked, those who are called shepherds. Does that ring a bell? Okay, so those who are doing the work, those who are doing the hard work, those who are leading the least intelligent animals, the sheep are, I'm talking about the sheep now, okay? They are trying to take care of, I didn't want to say the dumbest animals, but the least intelligent animals. But you can guess what I'm trying to say. Those who are trying to take care of them at nighttime, in the morning, who are trying to break the fights between the sheep, who are trying to care for the sheep, to cleanse the sheep, to clean the sheep, to feed the sheep, to protect the sheep from the enemies that are coming against them. We read that really quick. We're going to read a few verses in Luke 2. And it starts in verse 8. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, nearby Bethlehem, nearby where Jesus was born, nearby, out fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Again, shepherds, or that job back in the days, was truly the hardest, or one of the hardest jobs there are. It was actually overlooked. It was considered a low-paying job. It was considered a tough job. I mean, think about it. They were spending the nights in the fields, Taking care of the sheep, trying to keep the sheep from running away, trying to keep the sheep fed, trying to keep the sheep protected, because so many elements at that time would come against the sheep. You have the thieves that would come and steal to try to steal the sheep. You have the vicious animals like fox and mountain lions and all of that will come to try to devour the sheep. And the shepherds are staying there. What out in the open, not at their homes, not with their friends, not with their families, not with their in their beds or under, inside their walls, out in the field, trying to take care of these sheep. It was definitely a hard job. This is not camping, just in case some of you are thinking about camping. No, it's not camping, it's not glamping, it's none of that. It was an actual job where they had to stay up, stay on guard, try to protect, try to feed, try to cleanse, try to break fights, try to do all of these things. And again, dealing with the least intelligent animals. Such a tough, tough job. Their biggest wish every night that there wouldn't be any excitement, that it would be a quiet night, that they wouldn't have any visitations. That they wouldn't have visitations by thieves or any visitations by animals. All they cared for is that these animals would make it and they would all make it through the night. Because if the thieves are coming to attack and the shepherds face them, not only the sheep will be hurt, but the shepherds themselves would be hurt. It was a tough job, difficult job, dangerous job. It was all of the above. But then in verse 9, we hear about these people who are having a very uncomfortable season, having a very uncomfortable job, having a very uncomfortable life. Verse 9, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Of course they were. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a savior has been born. Sorry. A savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. Here they are going through their difficult night. Here they are going through their difficult job and their difficult life. Here they are, they're just going through another day, just counting the minutes and hours to be over and for the morning to come. And this visitation comes to them. I pray today that you would have this visitation. I pray today that God would open your eyes to a word, a specific word to you and a specific word to me. The sudden thing they were not expected. It was either, as I said, what they expected usually, animals or thieves or anything, but for an angel, a messenger from God to appear to them at their place of work, that was definitely something new that they've never experienced before. And when you are least expecting God to appear to you, God to speak to you, make sure to pay attention because this is when God will speak to you. When you feel like you're just so tired, exhausted, counting the minutes, counting the hours, and this is when God will show up and speak to you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It might sound terrifying. It might sound freaky. It might sound like this is not God, but it is God speaking to you. God is speaking to them not only through a messenger, but the glory of God is all around them. And what is the glory of God? A lot of times we just say these words very loosely. What is the glory of God? Is it just singing and praises and light and great things happening? What is the glory of God? The glory of God is God Himself. God is showing a little bit of Himself, His presence. His being around them. That's what they saw. So a little bit, God is gradually having them have this experience. First, an angel would come to them. And then second, the glory of God. They're feeling that the whole atmosphere is completely different. They're feeling like something that hasn't happened in many, many years is happening now, which is the presence of God. Remember, they weren't at a Bible study. They weren't at a Sunday morning. They weren't at a mass. They were just doing their job. They were just working. They were being faithful to whatever it is they were doing. They could be in the car. You could be in your car and you could feel the presence of God. You could be on your way to the store and you feel the presence of God. You know, Dina was telling me the other day she was cooking and she was praying and she was just telling me that the revelation she had while she was praying. Well, I was like, wait a second, she was cooking. She was in the kitchen. She was in front of the stove. And she filled to the glory of God. She filled to the presence of God because she was doing something and doing it with all of her heart to serve other people. And it didn't matter where she was. The glory of God, the presence of God. God was speaking to her, speaking to her heart. She was praising. She was worshiping. She was praying. And she filled. There's something tangible in the room or in the kitchen at this instance. So here they are, you know, doing their job. An angel appears, the glory of God, they feel it. They feel it. And a lot of us, and a lot of times, we expect, because the misunderstanding of what it means, the glory of God, we're expecting some lights or some songs or this or that, but it could be just a peaceful thought in your heart. A peaceful thought that God sends you, a verse to you, a reminder of a message you heard before, something that happens where you feel like this is a God moment. Have you had those moments before? We feel like, oh, this is a God moment. You know, I'm feeling God speaking to me right now. I am feeling God's hand right now comforting me. I am feeling God is opening a way for me, opening a door for me, or shutting a door for me. I am feeling that this is a God moment. They felt, not only saw an angel, but they had that God moment that night. God is revealing himself to them, and he knows their hearts. See, God appeared to them knowing their hearts, knowing what they go through. Because later on, we will hear that he is the what? The great shepherd. You know, he knows what they go through. He knows that the tough job they have. He knows what it is to be a shepherd. He knows what it is to have flock, the members that are fighting. He knows that he knows what it is to have members that stray away and go away and try to wander, you know, right and left. He knows how to protect. He knows how to feed. He knows what they're going through. And when that angel appeared, they were terrified. And that's normal. That is absolutely normal. But what is the theme of the Bible? Do not fear. The angel quickly spoke to them and encouraged them. And he said, do not be afraid. Listen, when we're in the presence of God, it's not a moment to be afraid. It's not a moment to fear. He is actually coming to us. And when he is coming to us, yes, we have all the respect and we have all the reverence and we give him all the honor. We do all of that. But he is coming. And when he is showing himself to us, when we are having those God moments, this is not time to be afraid. This is a time to rejoice and to enjoy that moment that God is calling us to. He tells them, I have good news. A lot of times we're waiting for that good news, waiting for good news that, you know, an offer would be accepted. Good news that, I don't know, that the doctor would give a different report. Good news that this or that. Like these are the good news that we always wait for, right? But right here, there's a different kind of good news. Good news that will cause great joy for all the people. All the people, you know, the offer being accepted might cause joy to you and to your family, but not necessarily your neighbors. You know, the doctor's news or the school news or the job news, or how is that going to guarantee great joy for all the people? It doesn't. but the news of Jesus being born will be good news for you and good news for all the people around you. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born. And what a great reminder this is, the town of David. What a great honor God has given back to David after he died, hundreds of years after he died, after he messed up, after all the mistakes he made, after all the things, God is still honoring David and the man that his heart was after God. In the town of David, this town that doesn't even, you know, was not even remembered anymore. This very small, poor town now is being put on the map again. And he, in the town of David, a Savior is born. You know, this was great news to the shepherds. I'm hoping that this would be great news to you and to me tonight. I am hoping that this would be the news that you're waiting for. As I told you, by like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, I almost texted Pastor Al saying, you boys exhausted. I'm tired and we are going to have a lot of people over and I need help tonight. But, you know, I felt it in my heart. Truly, I felt it in my heart that I need to speak about those who are weary, those who are tired, those who are exhausted, those who are sometimes don't hear an encouraging word. Those, like, I felt like this was the message today. And I'm not going to shy away from that message. I'm going to that message because I need that message. I need that message. And the best way for you to get the message that you need is to what? Is to preach it. That's the best way, because you get to dig deep, you get to study, you get to get on your knees, because hey, you're in front of people now. You know, you don't want to be embarrassed, you don't want to look like an idiot, so you got to study, you got to dig deep, and you got to bring it. So, and you got to write things down. These things are not going anywhere. They're going to always be on my Google Docs. So we need a Savior in every moment of our life. Whether it's something huge, something big, or just an exhausting day like today. Whether it's from our sin, our selfishness, our fear, our anxiety, our worries, whatever it is, we need a Savior. See, Jesus didn't just come to save from one or two things. Jesus came to be a Savior. Whatever it is that you feel like you need saving from today, you have a Savior that was born. If you need a Savior from pride, he is there. If you need a Savior from fear, he is the one. If you need a Savior from bad habits and things, strongholds that the enemy have put on your life and in my life for so long, he is the one to come and just break every chain. A Savior was born. And the shepherd heard it. And the shepherd know what it is to be a Savior, because when one of the sheep is caught in the teeth of a lion or a fox or one of those things, the shepherds are usually running to the help. They know what it is to save. They know how it is to save one sheep from another. They know how it is to save the sheep from the insects or like the disease or the things that they come to them. They know how to save. And they, here they are, they're hearing the news that a Savior is born. And they know that they need a Savior. I don't know about you, but we need a Savior. Your neighbor, your coworker, your cousin, your family member, what they need on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning, more than the gift, more than the political topics that you'll talk about, more than the sports that you will talk about, more than anything, they will need to hear that the Savior was born. A lot of people still don't realize that a Savior is born. They celebrate Christmas. They have Christmas lights. They buy gifts, but they still don't know that a Savior is born. A Savior is born to help them not to keep begging for attention. Oh my goodness. There are so many people around us begging for attention. They're doing everything they can to just get someone to give them attention, to look at them. And they say, well, here, I see you, or I love you, or I care for you. They need a Savior. So a Savior is born in this little town, in this little place, a Savior is born. Remember how David was counted out? It's forgotten about. The glory days are over. The days of defeating the enemies and the Palestinians and the Amorites and all of these people, these days are over. No, it's not. This little town was counted out. David himself was counted out by his own parents, by his own father. But that's not the case with God. Remember how this town also was counted out. A savior is born. From this nothingness, this town was nothing but nothingness. Is that a word? It was nothing but nothingness. Oh, that's actually works. It was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. And here it is. A savior is born in this town. Okay. I'm hoping that you're reading between the line, of course. The lines, of course. I'm hoping that you would see that out of this nothingness you're looking at, a savior could be born. Out of this dark, tough night, a savior is born. Out of this slavery, freedom is born because a savior is born. Out of the weakness, that strength is born because a savior is born. Out of the accepting the given life that the world gives you, a new hope. New hopes, new dreams, new destiny, new plans are born because a savior is born in this town that is absolutely nothing. A savior is born. A savior is born. I want this word to be stuck with you today. A savior is born. He is the Messiah. He came to save. He came to save everyone from everything and to give everything. He didn't just come like David to save the Jews from Amalek or the Palestinians or this or that. No, he came to save everyone. He came to save the Palestinians. He came to save the Israelis. He came to save the Americans, the Egyptians, the Mexicans, the this, the that. He came to save all mankind. From what? From everything that's hurting you. Jesus has the cure for everything that is hurting you. I can summarize it in one word, which is sin, but he has the ability to save everyone from everything and to give them everything. And that's the eternal life. That's the savior that was born. And here's a sign for you. You will go and you'll find the baby wrapped in clothes, laying in a manger. A baby, not a superhero, because it seems like what you're promising is so much. You're promising savior, deliverance, you're promising all of these things, and you're telling me that is this like going to be the Avengers 4, Iron Man and the Hulk and Captain America and all of these people? No, it's going to be a baby. It's going to be a baby laying in a ma manger. This is good news for you, and this is amazing news for me, because it could start with something so small. It could start with something so small. Maybe it's a cloud as big as the palm of your hand, but that little cloud will become bigger and bigger and bigger, and it will shower a whole country with the rain that they needed. It's a baby. It's a baby, but that little baby faith you have, that little baby passion you have, that little baby ministry you have, that little baby whatever you have will start something amazing, and just wait for it. A lot of times when we hear these promises, like today, we're expecting that things are just going to go off the wall, like after the meeting. I'm gonna expect healings and miracles and this and that. And we often miss the baby. We miss the small things. We miss the simple things. So you will see a baby wrapped in clothes, not in full body armor, coming to lead like David and all the other warriors. No, he is going to lead a different kind of war. He is going to lead a different kind of battles. Not the battles that you win by swords and shields and all of that, but it's the battle of the heart that will be won by changing that heart from a heart that goes after sinful things, after the flesh, after the world, to a heart that is changed to see God, to be full of God, to pursue God, to know that God is pursuing them. And also in a manger, not in a castle, not in a town hall. Yeah, in a manger, because that manger is where the animals usually stay, and that little baby is coming to be a sacrifice. He is coming to be a sacrifice, not a little entitled little prince. He is not coming to be served, he is coming to serve. He is coming to sacrifice, not to ask others to sacrifice for him. So here is what the words that the angel shared with them. The suddenly great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Remember, this was an encounter between heaven and the shepherds. This was an encounter between God and the shepherds. This was an encounter between God and the people who are tired, who are weary, who are exhausted, who are spent, who are doing the tough jobs no one else wants to do, who are not hearing a word of appreciation, who are just putting up with the darkest nights, the coldest nights, the anxiety, the fear, and all of that day after day. And this was God just making conversations with them. This is God saying, I see you. I see you. You put in your time. Let me bring you joy. Let me tell your story for the rest of your life. Let me tell your story for eternity. That story will stay with you for the rest of eternity. God sent the angels first to prepare the way. And God is just so wise, you know. He sends an angel first, have a conversation, the glory of God. They feel like it's a God moment. And then the rest of the angels will come and praise God and all of that. Because if you see all the angels coming in all at once, that might be a little too much for the shepherds. The shepherds might run away. So, not overwhelming the shepherds, just a little bit at the time, you know, giving the news a little bit at the time to deliver the message, to deliver the word. And after the word was delivered, the praises started. Can I say that one more time? Maybe you should write this. After the word was delivered, the praises started. You know why? Because the preacher stopped preaching. No, just kidding. Because aha, someone is laughing at that joke. So why is that? Because we need the word of God to dwell in us. We need the word of God to come and just stay with us. And while when we comprehend the word of God, when we comprehend what's actually happening, the good news that will bring joy to you and to the rest of the people, a savior is born. When you comprehend all of this and understanding, there is nothing but praise and worship that will follow. Praise and worship that will fill the sky. Even if you don't see the angels around, even if you don't see the great host of heavenly angels around you, your own heart will be overwhelming with joy and praises and worship that it will feel like you're filling up the whole universe with your worship. But the word has to come first. The word has to come first. Understanding the word, eating that word, being like, you know, being one with the word has to come first. God delivered the word, and the word turned into praises, and the praises later on we will see turned into action. Glory to God in heaven, in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those who have who his favor finds, whose favor rests. We see here again heaven and earth. The extremest, highest place in heaven and mankind and on earth are all joining together at this moment. We were told for so long that heaven's too far, but this moment, I can assure you that we are not too far from heaven. We are not too far from the glory of God, from God representing himself, from seeing God, from feeling God, from having that moment. We're not too far. If you understand that the Almighty God, that the all-powerful God, the God who's in control of heaven and earth, the God who is a God above all, is here with you on earth, this should give you so much peace. This should give you the best night's sleep ever. And when the angels had left them, they gone into heaven. Listen to this. The shepherds were like, oh man, that was a great meeting. What a great meeting Sunday morning, Pastor Al. What a great meeting Wednesday night. I actually never heard that, but what a great meeting Sunday morning. Now it's time to go home, eat, take a nap, and then I don't know, do get ready for Sunday. Now, when the angels had left them, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They now believe it. They believe that something happened. They believe that the Lord spoke to them. Can we highlight? Can I feel like sometimes I need a highlighter to just highlight the things that I'm saying. They feel like the Lord spoke to them. They feel like they need to do something about it. So they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. How about how about the sheep? How about the danger? How about this or about that? Remember when Peter and the rest of the fishermen, when Jesus did this miracle, what did they do? They left the fish, they left the nets, they left the boats, and they followed Jesus. We're seeing it here one more time. When the meeting is over, everyone doesn't go to their own way. No, they go and pursue the word of God because they believed that God spoke to them and it was time to take action. And when they left, they went to Bethlehem. Might lose your job, might lose your sheep, might lose a few things, but you are gaining your life. What is it? What good is it if you gain the whole world and you lose your life? They didn't hear that verse, but they acted on that verse, trusted that this was a word from God, highlighted it, as this was a word from God, and we need to act on it right away. Verse 16, so they hurried off. I love that. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened, what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They hurried, they found. They hurried, they found. Also, highlight moment, they hurried, they found. They hurried off. They wanted to find what God was talking about. They heard a message from God. They wanted to act on it, and they wanted to act on it right away. Like, there is no waiting. This is not going to wait until the morning. This is not going to wait until the next shift comes to take the job. This is not going to come to maybe Sunday or tomorrow morning. This has to happen right now. It has to happen right now. And when it happens right now, the results are usually very positive. They hurried, they found. Who did they found? They found Joseph, Mary, and the baby. Mary, we're not here to harm you. We're here to assure you of the news that you personally heard. See, this is what happens when we have those God moments, when we believe God. One of the first things we do, we assure other believers. If you recall the story we told about Mary, Mary didn't know that the story was going to end like this until, the angel of God told her, but she had to face a lot of danger. Being found pregnant in this culture in the Middle East before marriage, this was a big deal. This was a big deal, And here they are assuring another believer of what God had spoke to them about. This is what happens when we know that what I'm receiving is a word from God. I believe it, I trust it, and I hurry and I find it. I will be able to assure other believers. Mary, we're not judging you. Other believer, my brother, my sister, you're not here to be judged. You're not here to be looked down on. I'm also overlooked. I'm a shepherd. I'm also overlooked. I'm not appreciated. I work in the dark. No one knows the hard jobs that I do. No one knows what kind of things I go through. But you know what? I know that you're going through it too. I know that you're terrified. I know you had that fear because you had that visitation. Because you and I are meeting Jesus. You and I are in the mission of Jesus. And when we're in the mission of Jesus, as wonderful and as great and as privileged this is, it doesn't come cheap. It has a price to pay. It does have a price to pay. So, Mary, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to assure you that what you heard and what you're going through is God's will for your life. I'm here to assure you that a savior is born. I'm here to assure you that you're on the right track. They've seen him, and then right away they spread the word. They spread the word about who? He hasn't spoken a word yet. He hasn't healed a leper or a blind or a mute or hasn't raised a dead. He hasn't done anything yet. He is a baby. But that's how great their faith is. Just seeing him made them go around and spread the word about what God has done. It will take years and years and years for those shepherds to realize that, yes, this was the right moment. This was a God moment. 30 years later, when Jesus go into ministry, I don't know if those shepherds were alive or not, but I know the story was alive. I know they told the story to their children, to their neighbors, to the city. I know they told them that we were visited by angels. We felt the presence of God and we hurried and we found two other believers that also were in fear and not knowing what to do. And we assured them and we gave them confidence. And that baby, we kept talking about him. And here he is, 30 years later, finally doing some miracles, finally preaching some word, finally doing things that we said that he was going to do 30 years ago. How long have you been waiting? How long has it been? 10 years, 15, 20, a month, 2, a week. Some of us 2 hours. I don't know. Like when I'm hungry, like, I come home and Dina's like, 10 minutes, then the food is going to be ready. And I look at the clock. It's been 2 minutes. Like, how long has it been? We're not good with patience. We just have to admit it. We're not good with patience. We're not good with waiting. It's a skill that we need to wait to develop. But just remember those words. Just remember that God, during his visitation, said, a savior is born, even if that savior looks like a baby. I can go on and on and on about this, but I know you're not here to hear a Sunday message. This is a Bible study, so I'm gonna, give you a couple of minutes to say whatever you want to say. But let's go to the other side of this. A king, and this you'll find the historian, I'm not gonna spend too much time on him in Matthew 2. We hear about King Herod. We hear about the Magi, right? So, right? Magi, right? So they come and they ask, and King Herod, they go to King Herod. And from what we know about him, King Herod is, he's, what's the word? He's a playboy. What's the political word to say a playboy? He's just like he's like someone who loves luxury and entertainment and good time and like doesn't really care for anything but living in his own moment. They go to him. He is the king over the land. So you can imagine what that comes with. You can imagine how luxurious of life he was living. He's not out in the field, shepherding sheep. He is in his little palace or castle, and everyone is just serving him. He is living his literally anything that he wanted. He will find any kind of comfort or luxury. It's there. He hears the news as well. Okay. And what happens when he heard the news? He was disturbed. Well, the shepherds were in fear, but the angel of the Lord quickly said, what? Do not be afraid. He was disturbed, even though he's the king. But no one, and absolutely no one, can tell him, do not be afraid. Should I highlight this? The shepherds, the poor shepherds that have absolutely nothing, they were also in fear, because fear can come to anyone. Whether you're a president, you're a king, you're a billionaire, or you're one of us, normal people like us, fear will attack everyone. But the difference is the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, you and me, all of us here, we keep hearing the word, what? Do not be afraid. Herod, who is going to tell him that? Did his luxurious life, did his entertainment, did his wise men, did his doctors, did his advisors, did anyone tell him when he was disturbed, do not be afraid? Absolutely not, because they can't. Because they can't. This world can give you fear. This world can give you things. This world can give you money. This world can give you anything that you want. But they can never, it can never tell you, do not be afraid. It can never tell you, I can take your fear away. Highlight this, please. Highlight this, please, because a lot of times we think if we have this, if we have the big palace, if we have all the servants, if we have the luxurious life, if we have all the money in the bank, maybe our hearts won't be troubled. Here is Herod. He was disturbed at the news. And no one, and absolutely no one, can tell him those simple four or three words, do not be afraid. No one can say it to him. Because the only person that can say those words is God himself. He was disturbed. So what do we do when we are disturbed? Let's gather religion. Let's go to religion. So he gathers the high priest and the religious people, because that's what we do. You know, when we're afraid and we don't want to face God, and we don't want to face, when we don't want to let him come into our heart, we just go to the house of God. We talk to the pastors. We listen to a couple of songs. We talk to the priest, and maybe that can help us. Never does. It never does. It's great to hear messages. It's here to greet the great songs, but that can never be a substitute to that God moment where God reveals himself to you and you pour your heart before God. The whole scene was disturbed. And then the Magi to hear where the child is gonna go. They go and they see him. They worship. They offer gifts, and they never go back. Oh, he tells the Magi, when you find him, tell me. He calls them secretly. Tell me where he is, because I want to go visit him as well. Of course, he was lying, as we know. And then, when they don't see him, he commits a mass murder. He goes and kills every child who's 2 years or younger in Bethlehem and all the surrounding cities. This is a man that was living his ordinary, luxurious life. It was ordinary for him. He heard about Jesus. He didn't take it the right way. He was disturbed and frightened until the day he died. He never received the good news. He never received the Savior. He never looked at that baby and believed that this is God. Instead, he wanted to kill every baby in that city and the surrounding cities. An ordinary night for Herod and an ordinary night for the shepherds. We see how it ended for the shepherds, and we see how it ended for Herod. You know? And this is the choice that we have to make today. Because we could be those shepherds. We could accept the word of God. We could just forget about everything that we're doing and just hurry with this message to the Father. Hurry with this message to Jesus. Spread the word about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Or we can be like Herod. Live and continue to live in our fear, killing that message that we just received today and every message we receive after. It's our choice. It's an ordinary Wednesday night. I know you're tired. I know it's Wednesday. I know you're exhausted. I know you've been through a lot. I know. But I have great news. A savior is born. If I can just stop here and just keep saying this word, a savior is born. Whatever it is that you're going through and I'm going through, I have a savior and you have a savior. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys. Sorry I took 7 minutes extra, but and I can't blame it on Dina. Usually I do, but you know, she's not here. So any thoughts, please share your thoughts. I would like to just hear for the last few minutes.
This really encouraged me, and first of all, great Wednesday Bible study, Hassan.
Thank you.
See, you didn't hear it enough, so I'll tell you. But it was really encouraging. In the beginning, you were talking about when it happened, and it really encouraged me. I even wrote a phrase down, that the day is not over.
That's good.
Because when it happened at night. And as you were talking about the routine in our lives, there's routines. There's In our life, we wake up at a certain time, we go to work, we come back, we have our meal, bed. We can get into a pattern over and over and over and over. And what I was getting out of this is where our hearts are at, where our eyes are, where are they focused on, right? Are they still open? Are they still looking for the hope, right?
Good.
Are still expecting? Where's our expectation? Even Wednesday night, tonight can be a routine. At 7 o'clock, I log in. We hear a message. 8 o'clock, we say goodnight, and we turn it off, right? But it's the expectant heart, right?
Good.
For 400 years, you were saying they didn't hear a message, but yet they went out. And at night, I love that it happened at night, right when we think the day's over, PJs are on. I'm gonna turn in. Day's over. God moved, right? So it's really encouraging. The night is not over. The day is not over. We've been expecting, as you were saying earlier, a day, a week, a year, 10 years, whatever we've been waiting for, right? To not give up, right? We continue to live our lives. We continue to press on, but our eyes must remain focused on the Lord, and our hearts expectant always to hear from Him. So thank you.
Amen. No, thank you. I wrote it down. It's not over.
I really like the contrast that you did between between Herod and the shepherds. Herod had everything, and by all means, they really didn't have anything. But yet, the peace that came to them, the revelation that came to them, the grace that came to them, and they accepted it with humility, you know, as opposed to the word that he heard, and it brought nothing but anxiety and stress and frustration. Because he wasn't living the way that, you know, God intended. So, it's just a great co contrast that I don't have to wait for stuff and things and for everything to be comfortable around me. But God is more than able in the middle of the fatigue, in the middle of the tiredness, in the middle of the stress. And as Pastor Mike just mentioned, when your PJs are on, you know, revelation can come.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you. It's good.
It's a good thing to know that when you're tired, when you're done, that is when God's showing up to give you a good message. And, you know, you said it sent. He sent a messenger to the angel. In the same token, I say, when you're tired, when you're kind of done, that is when God showed up. You know, through a messenger, through the word, through a friend, through somebody, he shows up to anybody. So that's kind of a good thing to have it in our minds when we're tired, that God will show up. And when we show up, the praise is coming, you know, praise him for what he's been done in our lives.
Okay, here I am. Hi, everyone.
Hey, Anna.
Hi. I want to share something. This is really encouraging, but what I wanted to share is that sometimes I'm talking about my experience and what I've been going through lately. God is so good. God is so good. And I think in my case, I've been so focused on, as you said, like we expect God to show up in certain ways and all this, you know, and not realizing that God lives in us. He's already living in us. So once, in my case, when I realize and really focus on that, the truth that God lives in me, I have the Holy Spirit, things change for me. Things have changed for me where I feel this peace, where I feel this love, where my fear is no longer there, where my anxiety has gone away because it has been replaced by that love of God. Like I said, I hear like we always trying to find them in, oh, like you said, like going to the pastor, going to, yes, all that is good because we know that we need that encouragement, but not until we realize the love that God has for us, until we realize that, again, that he lives in us, that when Christ showed us or teached us or taught us to love and forgive. And if we do those things, things will change in us. Things will be different because now instead of putting our mind in how we feel, what's going on and all these horrible things that are happening in the world, things change. And I have felt that change, and that change that I have felt and the healing that I have received, I have now used it to help others. I didn't even realize how much it has changed me, where even yesterday, my coworker, when she called for something at my office, she tells me, Anna, what happened? Like, you sound different. You sound this, this, and that. You are giving me encouragement. I've been so sad and I've been so, but hearing how you have changed, how you see life differently, it's given me hope. And that to me meant the world. Even today, this morning too, my other coworker, she starts crying and you know how she's feeling, she's depressed. And I was able to just help her without me feeling like overwhelmed like I used to, where I'm like, I'm going through my heartaches myself. It was amazing to see how I was able to help her and and share with her how God has helped me. It's been amazing. You know, it's been amazing. I just wake up every morning and just praising God and just taking all those things that I have taken for granted and just say, thank you, God, for that beautiful, this beautiful day. Thank you for that, you know, those beautiful clouds out there, or that I'm alive, that my family are well. Just focusing on that has made a difference. So, yes, as you said, like, you know, we need to know that, you know, we need to focus on God and what he has given us and the gift that he gave us, which is Jesus, right? And what he has showed us, not I guess for me it's been a challenge, but as I realized, as I said, that who God is and really, really, really truly believe that I'm a child of God has made a difference. Because people was telling me, I was hearing it, but not until I believed it, things changed for me. And those conversations that I have had with Dahlia, and Dahlia, I really appreciate that. And I am so grateful because I have used those words to encourage myself and encourage, you know, and continue on. And it has made a difference in my life. You know, and I can tell you, like I said before, I don't know how, I don't know when God is going to heal me. But when I believed that he was going to, truly, truly believe in my heart, he did. And I really wanted to share that with you guys tonight.
Thank you. You know, this is one of the things that the angel said to the shepherds. It will bring joy for all the people. It was said also to Mary that it will bring joy for all the people. So the testimonies and the experiences we have from God, this is not meant to just be for us. It's meant to, as the shepherds did, they spread the word. They spread the word that a savior is born. I spread the word that there is hope. As Anna just said, there is hope in our life. There is a savior. It might seem very dark right now, but it will get better. It was dark before and it got better, and it will happen again and again and again. Because even when we are walking through the difficult times, we know that we already have victory. We know that we're walking through these times to be closer to God, to be, you know, to be cleansed from the world and from the flesh and from dependency on ourselves. We know all of this, and just sharing that hope and sharing those experiences is exactly what the shepherds did today. Yeah, or, you know, as we were studying, just spreading the word. It's good. Thank you so much.
No, and then that's what my prayer is for all of us during this season, is to really get to a place where we truly believe everything that God has written, because that's what it's all about. Victory Yeah. comes in the faith. It comes when we surrender to the will of God, to the word of God and the power of God in our life. And I'm just so happy to hear, Anna, what God is doing in your life. And what a marvelous testimony to say, look what the Lord has done. And so I'm really proud of you, and I'm so happy, and I rejoice with you, with everything God's doing through you and in you. So, way to go.
Anyone else? Okay, Pastor Al, can you pray for us, please?
We just thank you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your humble heart that comes to meet with those that are tired, with those that are counted out, with those that have been at their wit's end. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for not giving up. We thank you for grace upon grace upon grace. We thank you for just your incredible, persistent love with us and over us, Lord God. Give us to truly take these things in and to meditate and reflect on them and to believe them and to allow you to do a work of transformation in us, Lord God. We wait for revelation from you. I pray that you would bless Assam with more and more revelation, Lord God, that you would give him grace and rest as he does what he does, and continue to bless all of us, Lord God. As we draw closer to you, that you would continue to pull us in closer to your heart, so that we can live in a way that is honoring to you, pleasing before you, the way that you've intended. Bless us, bless our families, and bless this night for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ben, thank you everyone. So much, guys. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.